Latter-day Saint Home Educators is pleased to bring you this audio presentation, recorded live during the May 2023 Youth Education Conference held in Salt Lake City, Utah.
All right, I'm going to start with a quotation, see if you can finish it. Ready? President Russell Nelson said, "In the coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually without blank." Very good. A prophet who sees into the future said, "In the coming days, it will not be possible to survive spiritually unless you personally, not mom, not dad, not friends, you personally have learned to hear the promptings of the Holy Ghost." Now, some other convention, some other day, we're going to talk about the rules of revelation. What do I need to do to increase revelation? Today, I've got an hour to convince you. You are receiving more revelation than you realize. And the more you recognize the revelation that's coming, the promptings that are coming, the more you will invite more. So let's talk about the very many ways that the Spirit speaks to you. Now, normally, if I had a little bit more time, I'd have you close your eyes and vote. We won't do it today. I'll just tell you what all the other groups where I've done this have said. If I were to have you close your eyes and vote for one of these options, how often do I feel the Holy Ghost? How often do I receive promptings and revelation from the Holy Ghost? You could say constantly, frequently, occasionally, rarely, or never. And if no one could see how you were voting, if you were totally honest, how often do you receive revelation from the Holy Ghost? Constantly, frequently, occasionally, rarely, or never? What do you think the average young Latter-day Saint would say? I've asked that question thousands of times to thousands of youth. The most common answer is occasionally. I occasionally get promptings from the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm going to ask that at the end of our hour, and you tell me if you've changed your answer. Because I believe you are constantly receiving revelation, and you're not recognizing it, and you're probably taking credit for it. It was just you. And the more we recognize Heavenly Father in our lives, the more you say, "Oh my goodness, that Heavenly Father just spoke to me. I just received a prompting from the Holy Ghost." The more you do that, the more you're going to say, your confidence is going to grow. He is speaking to me. I am important to him. He does know who I am. And your confidence is going to grow. And secondly, the more you recognize him speaking to you, the more you invite more. If you had a friend and you never spoke to that friend, how often would they want to speak to you? But what if one day you really were grateful for what they were saying to you, you expressed gratitude, you connected with them, what would you in essence be doing? You would be inviting more from them. Same thing with Heavenly Father. The more you recognize that he just spoke to you, the more you invite him to speak more. So today, I want to blow your mind. I want the scriptures to blow your mind. I want the scriptures to blow your mind as we talk about all the different ways that revelation comes. And I hope you walk out that door saying, "Oh my goodness, I had no idea that Heavenly Father speaks to me in so many different ways. And I'm starting to recognize ones I haven't recognized." So, I got a small little whiteboard. I wish I had a big one. I don't think I should be writing on this screen with my marker. Do you agree? That would be my preference, but I'm not going to do that. So I'm going to write small. So I'd encourage you to pull out, let's see, you guys have page 61? Okay, you guys have page 61. I would encourage you to write these, especially the scripture references. Now, I don't have a lot of room, so I'll repeat the scripture a couple times. If you need, raise your hand and say, what was that scripture? I want you to have the scripture references. But here's what we're going to do. We're going to talk about how does revelation come? What is it like? So that you can begin to recognize the many ways Heavenly Father is speaking to you. Now, I got to go fast because I only have 50 minutes left, and we could probably do 3 hours with this subject. And I would encourage you to take the scriptures home and find more. This is no way an exclusive, exhaustive list. But how does Heavenly Father speak to you? All right, let's start in Doctrine and Covenants, section 8, verse 2. Doctrine and Covenants 8, verse 2. Let me split this into two pieces based on what the Lord said. Now remember, coming out of the apostasy, the first thing the Lord has to do in the restoration is teach people how to communicate with him. Because during the apostasy, not very many people knew. And they had all sorts of bizarre ideas about what revelation was. So the early sections of the Doctrine and Covenants give us a lot of, here's how I speak. So section 8, verse 2. I need volunteers to read. So if you want to read, just raise your hand and read. 8, verse 2, please. Okay, stop right there. Revelation comes two ways. In my mind and in my heart. So those are our two. Over on this side, we're going to do revelations to my mind. And over on this side, we're going to do revelations to my heart. Now, Richard G. Scott, an apostle who passed away a number of years ago, kind of clarified the difference. He said, a revelation to my mind is when specific information is being given. If I'm praying for an answer, if I need information, if I need to know what to do. So when Joseph Smith walks into the grove of trees, what's he looking for? Mind or heart? Mind, because what's his question? Which church should I join? That's very specific information that he needed. That's a revelation to your mind. Heavenly Father, where should I go to college? Should I serve a mission? I need information. All of those are revelations to your mind. Look at that. Speak and it shall be. That's fantastic. We're going to take the bigger one. All right, we'll move this puny little whiteboard out of the way and we'll get a big one. Fantastic. Thank you. All right, so let's do this. Let's split it in half. We're going to do mind, and we're going to do heart. Now, revelation to my mind is specific information. A revelation to my heart is Heavenly Father is with me. No specific information, just Heavenly Father with me. How does he manifest himself when he's with me? Now, sometimes you just need to be with your mom, right? I have 10 kids. The number one question I've been asked, in fact, I've been asked one question more than all the other questions I've been asked combined. The number one question I've been asked, can you guess what it is? Where's mom? My 21-year-old, one time, he was out in the backyard, came in and said, where's mom? And I said, she's upstairs. And he made a sandwich. And I thought, did you need her? Did you need to know where she was so you could go ask? Nope. He just what? He just needed to know where she was, right? And if I had said she'd not here, tell me what would have happened in his heart. Oh. But because I said she's right here, she's just upstairs, tell me what happened in his heart. Oh. Heavenly Father is that way. Sometimes I need him to tell me an answer. And sometimes I just need to be with him. Now, is this revelation? Are messages to my heart revelation? And yet most of us don't acknowledge that as revelation. Sometimes we think only when he's telling me to do something I'm receiving revelation. And yet, sometimes I just need to be with him. So let's start with this list, right? Let's make a list of ways it manifests himself when Heavenly Father's with me. How do I know? What are some of the manifestations of the Spirit when he's just with me. He's speaking to my heart, not necessarily a specific thing to my mind. Let's make a list here before we do that one. All right, Doctrine and Covenants, section 11, verse 12. Doctrine and Covenants 11, verse 12. Here's our first one. And I love that at the end of this verse, Heavenly Father kind of like knocks us on the head and says, "This is my spirit." Are you paying attention? Whatever you think the Holy Ghost is, this is one of the most common manifestations of the Spirit. He just kind of knocks us and said, "Are you paying attention?" So who wants to read this one? Section 11, verse 12. How does he manifest himself to me? Guess what? When Heavenly Father's with you, it makes you want to be better. Now, how many times has that manifested in your life? How many moments at this very convention have you said, "I want to be better. I feel a desire to do good." Guess what? You just received revelation. That's as much revelation as anything else. You know Heavenly Father is with you when you feel a desire to do good. And every one of us have felt that. I hope you're feeling it now. I hope you feel it constantly in your life. This prompting, this urge inside me that says, "I want to be better." Evidence that Heavenly Father is with you. Okay, let's turn to the Book of Mormon. We'll do a couple in the Book of Mormon. How about 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 16? Tell me what the Spirit did to a very young Nephi who's been asked to leave his home and go out and live in the wilderness. Say goodbye to your friends, walk away from your school, leave the life that you know. We're going to go live in the wilderness. And that was hard. 1 Nephi chapter 2, verse 16. 1 Nephi 2, 16. Tell me what he prays. He seeks the Lord. The Spirit comes, and it doesn't really say it in loud words, so you got to kind of pay attention. What happens to Nephi as evidence that the Spirit came and was with him? Yell it out when you find it. 1 Nephi 2:16, two chapters into the Book of Mormon. Let's leave Jerusalem. The command, Lehi gives the command to leave Jerusalem. How do you know? How did Nephi know the Spirit was with him? Do we need to read it? Who can see it? What is it? That my heart was softened. One of the things the Holy Ghost does is he softens our heart. Can you look back on your life in an important area and say, "My heart was softened. That was something I never had a desire to do, but over time my heart has softened." A lot of people go on missions because their heart was softened. How long would the Spirit need to be with me in order to soften my heart? Is that a one-time thing? So if my heart is softened, what does that know? What should I know? He has been with me many, many times. So how much has Nephi been feeling the Holy Ghost? In a difficult time, because what's his dad asked him to do? Leave. And yet, is the Holy Ghost with him in that difficult time? Okay, Mosiah chapter 5, verse 2, the people of King Benjamin, after his sermon, testified that they had felt the Spirit. The Spirit had been with them. How did they know it? Mosiah chapter 5, verse 2. Mosiah 5, 2, King Benjamin has just delivered his marvelous discourse. How did they know the Spirit was with them? Let's read this one. Who wants to read? Mosiah 5, 2. You volunteering or stretching? Who volunteers? Mosiah 5, 2, big loud voice. The Holy Ghost changes us. Looking back on your life, have you changed? If you have changed, then you have pretty strong evidence that the God has been with you. It takes time to change someone, doesn't it? It takes a lot of coaxing and a lot of whispering. If you have changed, look at your life. How many of you can look back on your life and say, wow, I've made some big changes? The way I was going and the way I am going, I've made some significant changes in my life. Well, guess what? Who has been with you to prompt those changes? You have received revelation. And I think it's time to recognize that your Heavenly Father has been with you. You're worthy of Him being with you. And invite more. Okay, let's talk about some specific examples. Let's do the mission to the Lamanites. That's what? Going for Ammon, Aaron, Omner, and Himni to go on a mission to the Lamanites is dangerous, right? Do you all agree? For Nephites to go on a mission to the Lamanites, they may be killed. Their mission might last one day, and they're dead. What do Lamanites typically do to Nephites? So they're in a scary, dangerous situation. They don't necessarily need this. They know what Heavenly Father wants them to do. What do they need? In this dangerous situation, they just need Him to be with them. In what form? Let's go to Alma chapter 17, verse 12. Alma 17, the mission to the Lamanites. They're just starting. They're doing something dangerous. Now tell me, what was the manifestation of the Holy Ghost in verse 12? Heavenly Father came to be with them, and their hearts did take courage. Now, does that mean every time someone's courageous, Heavenly Father was with them? No, I don't believe that. But one of the manifestations of Heavenly Father being with you in a dangerous, scary environment is courage. Not necessarily something to do, just courage in my heart. Heavenly Father being with me brings courage. Can I tell you a story? I went to Mexico City on my mission, one of the world's largest cities. One time we found a reference and we were looking for this house, and we were following, the numbers were decreasing and decreasing, and all of a sudden the street came to an end, but we needed the numbers to keep going. And I noticed that there was a little cliff and a ravine, and the street continued down there below us. And that's where our reference was. Well, carved into the cliff were some stairs. So we climbed down that stairs and we found the reference. We had a marvelous discussion. While we were having that discussion, a Mexican gang settled on those stairs. I didn't know any way to get out. I had a greenie. I didn't know what to do but to go right up those stairs. So we walked up the stairs right through a Mexican gang. The leader stopped me in the middle of the stairs, and he had a pipe in his hand, and he was banging his hand with the pipe. And he said, let me tell you what's going to happen. You're going to give us everything that you have, including your clothing, and we'll let you live. Now, tell me what I need from my Heavenly Father in that moment. I need courage and protection and strength. And all of a sudden, I felt an outpouring of courage like I've never felt in my life. I knew He was with me. And I said to that gang leader, we are representatives of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a message from them. We are on our way to a discussion. If you and your gang would like to come with us and hear what we have to say about God and their plan for us, then we will gladly give you everything that we own, including our clothing. But if you will not come with us, then get out of my way. And guess what he did? He stepped aside and we walked right by. I just needed my Father to be with me. and to know that he was there. And it was manifest as courage. How many times in your life have you just felt an outpouring of courage? How many of you deal with depression and you wonder, is Heavenly Father with me when I'm depressed, because you don't feel these? But he sends courage to go tackle the day. That's very much a revelation, isn't it? Did Heavenly Father speak to me on those stairs in Mexico City? Now, he didn't tell me what to say. But was he with me? Did I receive revelation on those stairs? Absolutely. Do you starting to see how often Heavenly Father's with you? Let's do a few more of these, then we'll get to that list. Let's do a few more of these. Let's go to Mosiah chapter 24. This one has two of them. Mosiah 24, 13 through 15. Need someone with a big booming voice to read these, because this is such a great moment. Now, this isn't a scary moment or a dangerous moment. This is a hard moment, a painful moment. Alma the elder has left King Noah. Amulon got very mad at him, joined up with the Lamanites, and they have found Alma, and they are beating them up. Mosiah chapter 24, 13 through 15. Mosiah 24, 13 through 15. They are being beaten up. This is a hard, difficult, painful moment. Now, nothing Heavenly Father says is really going to be helpful. But I need him. So what's the manifestation? We're going to see two here. See if you can find them. Need big booming voice. Who wants to read this one? Mosiah 24, 13 through 15. Anyone want to read? I'll read and you guys teach. Is that okay? Should we swap? I read the scriptures and you teach the lesson? Or should you read the scriptures? Please. Big booming voice. This is a great one. This is great news. Start at 13. Boom, there's the first one, right? What do they need in pain? What do I need in pain? I don't really need instruction. What I need is comfort. So he says, be of good comfort. Keep going.
For I know the covenant which he had made with them. I will covenant with my people and deliver them out of bondage. I will also ease the burdens which are put upon your shoulders, that even you cannot feel them upon your backs, even while you are in bondage. And this will I do that you may stand as witnesses for me hereafter, and that you may know of a surety that I, the Lord God, who visit my people.
Let me pause. Does that include you? Are you part of that? Does Heavenly Father visit you in your afflictions? This is what he's going to do. This is how you know he has and he will. Now there's one more. Keep going. This is what happened after he said that. How? How are our burdens made light? It's because God does what? Keep going. Read that. So tell me what Heavenly Father did when they were in pain. He didn't tell them anything as much as he sent comfort and strength. Have you received strength to do something you look back on your life and realize I could not have done on my own? Then God was with you. They didn't get easier. I just got stronger. Can I give you an example? My senior year in college, I was studying nuclear biology. It was a hard degree. I had a human anatomy and a nuclear biology degree. I was married after my sophomore year in college, and we had our first baby after my junior year. And my wife wanted to be a stay-at-home mom. So my senior year, I was working three part-time jobs. I was a full-time student. I was taking classes like Advanced Human Anatomy, where we had to know every single nerve in the human body. My final exam consisted of 50 cadaver tables with little rings around a nerve, human body parts. And there was a little ring around a nerve. And we had to identify what was the nerve and what would happen if it was cut right where that ring was. Can you imagine knowing every nerve in the human body? That was my final exam. That was my senior year. I was so stressed out. Financially, I had a mortgage and a baby, full-time student, three part-time jobs. So one day, I'm in this biology lecture where we talked about the different structures that different animals have and how insects have cuticles and that we have bones. Bone is the most expensive structure in nature. It costs us dearly. We have to be constantly feeding our bones or else they die. But the brilliance of having bone as our structure is that it's alive. Those of you who have braces, do you know what the orthodontist is doing? He's moving your teeth in the bones. The only way that's possible is because what? The bone is alive and it moves. Your bones are moving your teeth around. So the professor said something that changed my life. He said, bones sense extra weight. He said that if I were to break my leg, if someone were to break their leg and put all their pressure on one leg for a couple months, do you know what that bone would do? It would thicken. It would thicken to carry the added weight. And in that moment, as stressed out as I was, I felt Heavenly Father come down and just say, I can do this. I felt an outpouring of strength. No specific words, just strength. How many times is Heavenly Father with you? Courage, strength, comfort, a desire to do good. Let's do a couple more, and then we got to get to this list, because this is the list of how do I know what to do? Which church do I join, Lord? Is the Book of Mormon true? Should I go on a mission? How do I do these? Let's just do a couple more. Let's do kind of a fun one that I don't think you've ever associated with Holy Ghost being with you. Turn to Doctrine and Covenants, section 121, verse 45. Now, here's the setting. This is Liberty Jail. Oh, God, where art thou? Many are called, but few are chosen. Why are they not chosen? And then starting in the late 40s, he says, let virtue garnish your thoughts unceasingly. Then shall the Spirit be your constant companion. Now look at verse 45 and tell me one of the consequences of the Spirit being my constant companion. If the Spirit is my companion, something will wax strong. My confidence. One of the ways the Spirit manifests himself. Satan doesn't want you to hear this. He's trying to I'm just kidding. Probably true. One of the ways the Spirit manifests himself is in confidence. You ever watch a missionary leave and then come home? What's the main difference between someone who left and came home? 2 years with the Holy Ghost, 18 months with the Holy Ghost has done what? Increased their confidence. Now, we need to stop. Time won't let us do more of these, but I want you to start watching for manifestations of Heavenly Father to my heart. And I think it would be very appropriate to look back on your life and thank Him for the many times He's been with you. The many times He's come when you needed Him to be there. Not to say something, but to just be there. When you needed confidence or strength or comfort, the many times He's inspired you to be a better person, He has been your constant companion your whole life. Now, how does He speak to us? How do I get direction? Let's make this list. Now we're changing mindsets. Now I need information. I need to know what to do. Not Him with me. I need to know what to do. Okay? So let's watch for the ways He gives me instruction. All right. Doctrine and Covenants, section 6, verses 23 and 24. Nope. 22 and 23. Doctrine and Covenants, section 6. This is Oliver Cowdery. You all know that Oliver Cowdery was Joseph Smith's scribe, right? Do you know that he quit his job to do that? He quit his job. How much did scribing for Joseph Smith pay? So he quit his job to do it. Now, wouldn't you want Heavenly Father to confirm that this work is true before you quit your job? So he asked, should I do this? Should I quit my job and join Joseph Smith? Section 6, 22 and 23. Is 22 start with, if you desire further knowledge? Who's got 22? Okay, that's right. Okay, read it. So let's read this one. Watch for, how did I tell you that the work was true and that you should continue? Anyone want to read this one? Section 6, 22 and 23. Who wants to read? Please. Ready? Here we go. Ready? Didn't I speak peace to your mind? Notice, this is probably peace to my heart, right? Comfort is probably peace to my heart. Peace to my mind is that moment of clarity in confusion. Have you ever been confused about what to do? You're asking Heavenly Father to help you because you're confused, and then all of a sudden comes peace to your mind. I have clarity. I know what to do. In this confusion, I have peace. I have a moment of clarity. Raise your hand if you've ever felt that moment of clarity and confusion. Do you see how many times Heavenly Father speaks to his children? In that confusion, he brought peace to my mind. That's one way he answers. Another way he answers is section 9, verse 8. Doctrine and Covenants 9, verse 8. Oliver Cowdery's trying to translate the Book of Mormon. How does he know the translation is right? How's he going to know? And the Lord says, now you got to skip the part about a burning in your bosom because I think way too many people misinterpret that. Let's go to the very end of verse 8. How will you know if it's right? You see it at the end of verse 8? You will feel that it's right. How many times in your life have you been trying to decide A or B? Or maybe A, B, or C, and I don't know which one. And all of a sudden comes that moment where I feel which one is right. I did not attend the university I planned on attending when I was your age. I had my heart set on a school in California. I received a scholarship to the University of Utah, and I didn't know if I should take it because my heart was set on Stanford. Should I go to the University of Utah? And so they offered me a scholarship, and I drove up to the campus one day. I was at the Merrill Engineering Building, and I come walking down into the campus, and all of a sudden, this overwhelming, this is right. This is where I need to be. I felt it was right. And that's where I attended. What did Brigham Young say when we pulled into this valley? Is this where we're stopping? Is this valley? He probably looked at the Salt Lake Valley and said, not here, right? This isn't the place, right? It was not a pleasant-looking valley when he pulled into it. But what did he know? What must have happened in Brigham Young's heart? What did he say? This is the right place. It's that moment where I know the right thing to do. You've all felt that, right? In a decision, I know what to do. I know what the answer is. Now, let me get on my big soapbox and get really, really in your face. If I could pull you in right here, I wish I could, because this number 3, I think, is one of the most important concepts I could teach you today. Look at verse 9. If there is a voice that says, this is right, there's another voice. Tell me what the voice says in verse 9. This is wrong. How many times have you felt the prompting that you're doing something wrong? How many times have you felt the prompting, I shouldn't be doing this? How many times have you said something and immediately the Lord said, you shouldn't have said that? How many times are you doing something and you, every time, I can't do anything wrong without the Spirit saying, you shouldn't be doing this. That is the loudest voice in my head, right? Is it yours? The voice that tells me I'm doing something wrong. How many, don't raise your hands, but how many times in your voice have you felt that voice in your life? How many times has he told you you're doing something wrong? It comes every time, doesn't it? You can't lie or cheat or steal or do something immoral without him immediately telling you it's wrong. Therefore, ready? So there is a voice that says, I feel it is wrong. So how often does that voice come? How many times have you done something wrong? And if you're totally honest with me, how many times have you not felt that voice that you were doing something wrong? Every time, right? So if you don't hear that voice, what does that mean? There's revelation. If you don't hear the voice that I'm going the wrong direction, what does that mean? You got it. That's exactly where I was about to go. If I were to give you a ride home, would you give me turn-by-turn instructions? Okay, put your car in reverse. Back out of the parking. Now go right there. Now turn left a little bit more. Now there's the exit. Now we're going to get on Wakara Way. Now you're going to, would you give me turn-by-turn instructions? When would you speak to me? Tell me the two times you would say what to do. Okay, something important is coming up, right? There's a really important turn coming up. Boom, 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 right? And when else would you speak to me? When I went the wrong way. Boom, Heavenly Father, right there. When something important is coming up, he jumps in and says, hey, turn left up here. But 99% of the time, as long as I'm going the right direction, does he talk to me about it? I have never, ever once in 54 years of life ever had Heavenly Father tell me what kind of toothpaste to buy. Or what tie to wear. Because it doesn't matter. And he's going to let me make those decisions, isn't he? Now, when I get to some very, very important decisions, does he help me out? And if I'm wrong, does he help me out? So 99% of the time, if I'm not hearing his voice, what does that mean? I'm going in the right direction. That is the most common way he guides me, by not telling me I'm going wrong. As long as I'm going in the right direction. Now, how many of you wonder whether or not your life is headed in the right direction? I would like Heavenly Father to tell me that my life is headed in the right direction. So let me ask a different question. How many of you are confident you're not headed in the wrong direction? You just answered your own question. If you were headed in the wrong direction, what would he be doing? Every time. Therefore, the absence of this, I feel it is wrong voice, is him saying what? You're doing the right thing. You're going the right direction. So let me ask, just after that right there, how often do you receive revelation? Every moment. But what you want is you want him to say, turn left. Nope, two steps. Oh, what? Go right. Yep, you're doing great. You're doing great. Is he that kind of God that's going to tell you everything to do? We'd be robots. Does he want us to be robots? So Heavenly Father says, look, when something important is coming up, I'll be a little bit louder than normal. And when you've made a mistake, I'll be a little bit louder than normal. But as long as you're going the general direction, I'm going to let you go. You are being led by revelation the whole time. And how do you know it? The absence of revelation. Because if I were going the wrong direction, he would let me know every time. Please. Exactly. That was the Lucifer's plan. I'm going to tell them everything to do. And I'll force them. I don't want to go right. Yes, you will. I don't want to go right. Yes, you will. You don't have a choice. Okay, I'll go right. Is that the Savior's plan? But if an important decision is coming up, will he speak? If you made a wrong choice, will he speak? Ordinarily, what will he do? Now, is he smiling as you do it? Is he up there just saying, good job? Good job. Can you hear that good job? Could you just moment, just today, see his face and that smile? No, with the confidence, I'm not going the direction he doesn't want me to go. I am very confident my being here is not the wrong thing. I am confident that Heavenly Father did not want me to be here. But did he tell me to come here? No, it was my choice. Is he pleased that I'm here? If coming here would have been the wrong choice, what would he have done? So I need to see the smile on his face that says, good job. You're doing great. Now, once in a while, does he do that? Yes. And does he come and be with me? Yes. But he doesn't give me overload of information. Do you see why? Okay, so now here's what we're going to do. We're going to make a whole bunch of ways. What does he put in my head? When he does this, when it's important, what does he put in my head? You're going to be very surprised with this list. The first one we all know. He puts thoughts, right? Now, I only have 14 minutes, and so I am going to skip this one. I'd love someday to talk about thoughts, because do you put thoughts in your head? Yes. Does he put thoughts in your head? Yes. Do you need to know the difference? Yes. How do you learn to know the difference? Experience. Boyd K. Packer, who was the president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles not long ago, acting president, he said something that blew me away. He said, as an apostle, I listen now to the same inspiration coming in the same way from the same source that I listened to as a boy. In other words, apostles don't get revelation any differently than you do. There's no extra thing for apostles. It's just what? They've learned to hear it better. Learn to distinguish which thoughts are his and which thoughts are yours. But let me throw some other things at here that you probably aren't thinking about. And I'm guessing you're not acknowledging it came from Heavenly Father, and you're probably taking credit for it. Learn to acknowledge Heavenly Father. Ready? Here's a fun one. 1 Nephi 18, verse 1. 1 Nephi, Book of Mormon, 1 Nephi 18, verse 1. How does Nephi know how to build a boat? Jerusalem was not near a dock. He hadn't watched boats being built his whole life. Nephi had zero experience in boat building. How did he know how, not only how to build a boat, but this particular boat? Look at verse 1. 1 Nephi 18, verse 1, and tell me what Heavenly Father puts in your head. Pictures. What does it say? The Lord did show us. Not only does Heavenly Father put thoughts in your head, but he quite often puts pictures. You see it. Now, unfortunately, if you're not paying attention, what might you do when you see it? You take credit for, oh, I had a brilliant idea. I just saw this vision in my head, and now I know what to do. Now, does that mean every picture that comes into your head is Heavenly Father? No, I don't believe that. But Heavenly Father speaks through pictures. I wonder how many scientific discoveries came because Heavenly Father just put a picture in someone's head. When I was in college, I studied Watson and Crick. They discovered the structure of DNA. DNA is a double helix. And they were trying to determine the structure of DNA. They'd done numerous experiments, and they could not figure it out. And one day, guess what happened? Guess what they acknowledged? One day, one of them saw a picture in their head of a double helix. They did the experiments, and guess what DNA is? A double helix. Sometimes Heavenly Father just puts a picture in your head. And I think you should say, thank you. Thank you, Heavenly Father, for showing me that. Can I give you my absolute favorite example? Russell Nelson, when he was a heart surgeon. Let me read this to you. One of my absolute favorite stories. And where are my glasses? I can't see. Oh, there they are. Sorry. Getting old is not pleasant. You stay young as long as you possibly can. Never needed these when I was your age. All right. Let me read this fun story about President Nelson. Ready? Many of us have had experience with the sweet power of prayer. One of mine was shared with a state patriarch from southern Utah. I first met him in my medical office more than 40 years ago, during the early pioneering days of surgery of the heart. This saintly soul suffered much because of a failing heart. He pleaded for help, thinking that his condition resulted in a damaged but repairable valve in his heart. Extensive evaluation revealed that he had two faulty valves. While one could be helped surgically, the other could not. Thus, an operation was not advised. He received the news with deep disappointment, and subsequent visits ended with the same advice. Finally, in desperation, he spoke to me with considerable emotion. Dr. Nelson, I have prayed for help, and I have been directed to you. The Lord will not reveal to me to how to repair that second valve, but he can reveal it to you. Your mind is so prepared. If you will operate on me, the Lord will make it known to you what to do. That's a man of faith. If you operate, the Lord will tell you how to fix my heart. Please perform the operation that I need and pray for the help that you need. His great faith has had a profound effect on me. How could I turn him away again? Following a fervent prayer together, I agreed to try. In preparing for that fateful day, I prayed over and over again. But still, I did not know what to do for his leaky tricuspid valve. Even as the operation commenced, my assistant asked, what are you going to do for that? He said, I don't know. We began the operation. After relieving the obstruction of the first valve, we exposed the second valve. We found it to be intact, but so badly dilated it could no longer function as it should. While examining this valve, a message was distinctly impressed to my mind. So we got a thought. And the thought said, reduce the circumference of the ring. I announced that to my assistant. The valve tissue will be sufficient if we can effectively reduce the ring towards its normal size. But how? We couldn't apply a belt as you would tighten the waist of oversized trousers. We couldn't squeeze it with a strap as you would cinch a saddle on a horse. Then a picture came to my mind vividly, showing how stitches could be placed to make a pleat here and a tuck there to accomplish the desired objective. I still remember that mental image, complete with dotted lines where sutures should be placed. The repair was completed as diagrammed in my mind. We tested the valve and found the leak to be reduced remarkably. My assistant said, it's a miracle. I respond, no, it's an answer to prayer. The patient's recovery was rapid and his relief gratifying. Not only was he helped in a marvelous way, but surgical help for others with similar problems had become a possibility. I take no credit. Praise goes to this faithful patriarch and to God who answered our prayers. This faithful man lived for many more years and has since gone to his eternal glory. President, elder, or no, Dr. Nelson would then spend the next 40 years flying around the world to teach people how to perform that surgery. And who taught him how to perform that surgery? How? A simple picture. How many times in your life has he simply shown you the answer? When I was married, my best friend was my little sister. She and I just spent so much time together, and I wanted her to be my best man. My sister was my best man. So I wanted her to wear a tuxedo with a black skirt. It was incredibly cool. But my mom realized at the last minute that she wouldn't have a bridesmaid's dress for the wedding breakfast. And that bothered my mom. So at the last minute, she decided to make one more dress, but she'd run out of material. So she ran around to all the fabric stores in the valley and couldn't find the material. She just prayed, "Heavenly Father, help me find the material so I can make one more dress." And then as she's driving home, not having found the material, Heavenly Father just put a picture in her head. She saw in her head how to fold the material that she did have left over in order to make one more dress, and it worked perfectly. And my sister had a bridesmaid's dress for the wedding breakfast. Heavenly Father puts pictures. Let's do another one, please. He showed you.
And I didn't see that thing for the next 3 years, but it gave me enough. It gave me a picture to look forward to that I was able to be happy for those 3 years together.
It's a beautiful example. Is Heavenly Father with you? And he just, now I'm going to add that one. We won't have time to do this one, but that's another one, dreams. Sometimes along with the picture comes dreams. I don't get inspired dreams. I wake up stressed out by my dreams. He speaks to me in other ways, but some people get inspired dreams. Let me do two more that I think will open your eyes a little bit. How about section 138 verse 11. Joseph F. Smith, sixth president of the church, just lost his son. The last time this world had a pandemic was the 1918, and his son died in that pandemic. And he's wondering what's happening to his son. He's wondering about the spirit world. He opens up the scriptures and he's reading the scriptures. And then verse 11. I think too many people skip over verse 11. What did Heavenly Father put in his mind? What was opened up? Section 138, verse 11. What suddenly opened up? Yell it out. The eyes of my understanding. In other words, what does Heavenly Father sometimes just put in our head? Understanding. Now, this is where you take credit for it, and don't. Now, I don't think every idea is Heavenly Father. I think I do have some understanding. But one of the ways the Spirit manifests is sudden strokes of understanding. I suddenly understand. I know why. And sudden strokes of understanding. Heavenly Father sometimes puts just understanding. And you know what I think you should do? I think you should say thank you. I think you should say, I recognize Heavenly Father just did that. Can I give you a silly example? I can't stand dangling cords. You know, like when TVs have... So in our house, whenever I mount a TV, I can't stand the dangling cord. So I move the outlet up behind the TV so there's no dangling cords. Drives me crazy. So we bought a new TV for our bedroom, and I'm mounting the TV, and I'm moving the outlet up. And because of the way the outlet was, I had about a half-inch hole in which to thread that wire. and I'm about this height going down to about that height, and I'm trying to thread the wire into a little teeny hole. And I'd been doing it for about 45 minutes, and I wasn't having any luck. And then all of a sudden, out of the blue, oh my gosh, fish it up! Fish it up! Don't fish it down, fish it up! And so I went from the little hole up to the big one, and it popped right out in 10 seconds. Now, I would probably have a tendency to do what? That was a brilliant idea, Bryce. You're so smart. Instead, I said, thank you, Heavenly Father. Duh. That was so obvious, and I didn't see it, and you did. He simply put understanding. I just had understanding. Please.
Sometimes understanding also comes to others.
Yep. Hey, Bryce.
Like, randomly come up and they're like, oh, why don't you just do it this way? It'll be easier. And they're like, oh, why didn't I think of that?
Yep.
Really smart.
Thank you. Yep.
And big question.
That's just
yep. Through other people.
How can you tell if it's your idea or if it's your thought?
You can't sometimes. And so why not give credit to him every time? Why not just simply give credit to him every time? Because what am I doing? How am I less if I give him credit for something I did? But how am I less if I take credit for something he did? So we have time for one more. Let me just do one more, and then we can talk afterwards. Let me just do one really, really cool one at the end. John chapter 14, verse 26. And boy, this one's going to blow your mind. Guess what he puts in your head? Guess what Heavenly Father puts in your head? John 14, 26 at the end of the verse. Yell it out. What does he put in my head? Reminders. How many times in your life have all of a sudden you suddenly remembered to do something? How many times did you suddenly remember something important? Now, are every one of them Heavenly Father? Probably not. But enough of them are that we should acknowledge that. How many times have you been leaving the house and you went, oh my goodness, I forgot that. Oh, that would have been so bad. And you say what? I'm so glad. Okay, there it is. You just took credit for what may very well be revelation. And my testimony to you is that if you will acknowledge him, you invite more. Now, back to the question I started with. How often do you receive revelation? Constantly, frequently, occasionally, rarely, or never. It is my testimony that you are constantly being led by the Holy Ghost. Learn to recognize all of the different voices he uses when he speaks to you. Thank him and invite more. This is my testimony in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Latter-day Saint Home Educators is a nonprofit, all-volunteer organization dedicated to providing inspiration to homeschool families. We hope you enjoyed this recording. If you are interested in listening to more recordings or would like to participate in a future conference, please visit our website at ldshe.org.